You want to my Kajai, Shimari Lassidev Kajai, some of Veda Bhakta, Vrind Kajai, Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Om. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Premananda Hari 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 Om. So, Om Ganati Vinandasha, Gananjana, Shilakaya Chakshur, and Meditam, Yena Tasmai, Shigurve Namaha. So, I'm going to actually speak about Rath Yatra in a little bit different way than most people speak about Rath Yatra. How about that? A little bit different information. We're going to speak today about Prabhupada and Prabhupada's connection with Rath Yatra, which is my most inspiring understanding of Rath Yatra. So, Srila Prabhupada, of course, was born in Calcutta, and the biggest Rath Yatra in Calcutta was done by the Mulik family, which Prabhupada was associated with. And they held it yearly in Calcutta. It was a very big Rath Yatra, and Prabhupada became inspired by seeing this Rath Yatra. And it's described that this Rath Yatra would go down Harrison Road, and then return, and there'd be a large quantity of Lord Jagannath Prasadam distributed. Of course, Prabhupada's appearance in this world is very unique, and it actually reflects the appearance of many of the Acharyas that they were worshipping Krishna from their very birth. You know, Prabhupada worshipped the deities of Radha Govinda, which were right across from where Prabhupada was living, and then Prabhupada saw Rath Yatra. So anyway, so... what happened is that when Prabhupada saw this Rath Yatra, he became inspired not only to do his own Rath Yatra, but even when he was very young and going to school, Prabhupada would always be planning on how he could go to Jagannath Puri. I think I'm speaking loud enough. I don't need a microphone, unless they can hear it in the kitchen.
No, they can't hear you.
So I think my voice is loud enough.
Is it enough?
Yeah, I have a pretty loud voice that people complain about it all the time. So so Prabhupada kept looking at the train schedule from Calcutta to Puri, and he was planning on how he could collect the money and go. So this was his meditation as a little boy, and even as he grew up, until he actually went to Puri. So he was actually meditating on going to see Lord Jagannath and Jagannath Puri and going to see the Rath Yatra. Now this also indicates that Prabhupada was on the highest platform of devotional service, because Lord Jagannath, what's that? I'm online right now, so just, yes, people are watching all over the world. So more people than are in the class. So Lord Jagannath is the deity of Vipralamba. You understand? Separation. Because the Rath Yatra commemorates the time when Lord Krishna, at the time of the eclipse, met the residents of Vrindavan in Kurukshetra. And they hadn't seen Krishna for a very long time. And they wanted to bring Krishna back to Vrindavan, because they couldn't relate to Krishna in the opulent aspect that he was exhibiting in Dwarka and, of course, in Puri. There's a very interesting story we'll tell a little bit of that's in Rupa Goswami's Lalita Madhava. In the Lalita Madhava, you actually have a description of Radharani when Krishna left Vrindavan, leaving this world and going to the sun god. Anyone here ever read Lalita Madhava? Mm-hmm. So you know the story. Yeah. So she goes to the sun god, Venus one, and she also takes with her a jewel that came from the Shankachuda demon. You know the Shankachuda demon? Anyway, so Krishna killed the Shankachuda demon, the jewel was given to Balaram, and then Balaram gave the jewel to Radharani. Whoop. Hare Krishna. That's not even Bollywood music. So, anyway, so Radharani goes to the sun god, feeling separation from Krishna, and then the sun god gives that jewel to Satyajit. You know, the whole Shyamantaka jewel story. That jewel is actually the Shyamantaka jewel. He gives that jewel to Satyajit, and then at the same time, he gives Radharani, who actually at this time appears as an expansion, as Satyabhama, to Satyajit. So that's how Satyajit got his daughter, Satyabhama. Is everybody following the story so far? It's a pretty easy story. I mean, it's more detailed than this, but we don't have time to tell it. So anyway, so then, when Krishna proves that he hadn't stolen this Jaimantaka jewel, you know, he fights with Jambavan, gets it back, then Satyajit gives him Satyabhama, along with the Shyamantaka jewel, which he gives back to Satyajit, as a wife. But so remember, Satyabhama is Radharani, expansion of Radhi, in the same mood of Radharani. So what happens is that Satyabhama doesn't recognize that Dwarkadish is Krishna. This is Rupa Goswami describing the whole thing. She's in love with Krishna. However, she thinks, oh, this king, you know, he may be a big king and everything like that, Dwarkadish, but he's not actually my Krishna. So eventually, I mean, there's a whole interesting story. Actually, I'll tell part of the story. That she goes to this place called Nava Vrindavan, which is a replica of Vrindavan, which is near Dwarka. And she's lamenting that she can't be with Krishna, because she doesn't recognize Dwarkadish as the same as Krishna. And so she sees a deity of Krishna in this Nava Vrindavan forest, this replica of Vrindavan forest. And she, just out of separation, begins to decorate the deity very nicely. And then she hears, as she's decorating the deity, she hears some people coming, so she doesn't want people to discover that she's decorating the deity. So she goes and hides in the bushes. And that person who's coming is actually Krishna, Dwarkadish. And he sees the deity of himself that's decorated very nicely. And he's wondering, who has decorated this deity so nicely? And he said, well, the only way I can figure out is if I stand in the place of the deity and I put on the jewelry of the deity. Did you ever hear the story before, Maharaj? No? Anyway, new story for you. So, it's Rupa Goswami. So it's bona fide. Lita Madhav, it's a play. And so he stands in the place of the deity, you know, like this. And then Satyabhama, who was expansion of Radharani actually, comes out and she sees the deity and she continues decorating the deity. But then she discovers the deity is very soft. You know, most deities are hard. So she discovers the deity is very soft. And she says something, and then Krishna, who's there, is thinking, boy, Vishwakarma made a really interesting Radharani. Because he's thinking that Radharani is a deity, who's Satyabhama, who's decorating him. And Satyabhama is thinking that Krishna's a deity. Interesting, isn't it? Yeah. And finally, they're thinking, boy, Vishwakarma, who actually arranged this Nava Vrindavan forest, and all the different replicas of the residents of Vrindavan, they're actually thinking he's done a really great job. But eventually they discover that's Radharani and that's Krishna. You know, Satyabhama, the same mood as Radharani, but she's, you know, expansion of Radharani, Shakti Tattva. So, but then they begin to enjoy in this Nava Vrindavan forest. And because it's just like Vrindavan. And in this number, many pastimes occur in this play of Rupa Goswami. But one pastime that is particularly memorable is when they both go into a cave. And in that cave, there are different pictures or carvings on the wall of their pastimes in Vrindavan. Because remember, now they're in Dwarka, but actually in Nava Vrindavan, which is close to Dwarka. And also Sanatana Goswami, in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, describes this Nava Vrindavan. But he doesn't go into the same detail as Rupa Goswami goes into. So they're looking at the pictures on the wall about all their different, you know, Rasa Leela pictures there and everything like that. And then Krishna, teasing her one time, points out a picture of when he stole the gopis' clothes when they were bathing in the Yamuna after the Kachyani Vrat. And he points out one particular girl who's Radharani. He says, "Who is that?" And she says, "You know who it is." You know, she gets upset that Krishna's just making fun of her. Because, it, you know, they're naked in the picture. And then finally, they come to one picture that they both hate. Now, this is part of the Jagannath story. And that picture is a picture of Krishna leaving Vrindavan. You understand? Going on the chariot, the gopis standing on the path or lying on the path. It's described when Akrura took Krishna out of Vrindavan, he had to zigzag. You understand? Zigzag. Back and forth. Like sometimes you're driving on Indian roads and there's a lot of potholes. One time I was driving on my motorcycle, because I used to drive motorcycle in India, from Govardhan to Barshana, and it was just all full of potholes, and just the whole time it was like that. So that's how I could relate to that. So Akrura was zigzagging to avoid running over the gopis and the other residents of Vrindavan. So they, in other words, Radharani enjoys with Krishna only in the Vrindavan mood, in Vrindavan, in the morad of Vrindavan. So the Ratha Yatra, she's attempting to drag Krishna back to Vrindavan. Of course, we have Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is in the same mood as Srimati Radharani. He is Krishna himself, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahayanya. And he is dragging the cart to the Gundicha temple. Now, the Gundicha temple, of course, you know, represents Vrindavan. And before he does his whole Ratha Yatra thing, he is cleansing the Gundicha temple because no one can enter Vishayachaya Kari Kabi Shuddha Kabi Mama Mana Kabi Hama Shira Shibrana Kabi Hama. Hey Rabo, Sri Vrindavana. That one has to have a Shuddha Habi Mana. One has to have a what? Purified mind to enter into Vrindavan or to understand Vrindavan or have Krishna manifest Vrindavan. So he has cleansed the temple. So this is a very important lesson for us. You know, many times we want to understand Radha and Krishna, but unless we are free from anarthas, there's no question of understanding Radha and Krishna. It's just impossible. We will simply understand our mind or a projection of our own concepts in this material world. So anyways, that's why Lord Chaitanya cleansed the Gundicha temple, and that's the Ratha Yatra. So let's get back to Srila Prabhupada's story. So Prabhupada, being the most exalted devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was in that mood of Srimati Radharani, because that's why he was thinking of Ratha Yatra, bringing Krishna back to Vrindavan. You know, people ask, why was Prabhupada so interested in Ratha Yatra? Because he was in that mood of the residents of Vrindavan wanting to drag Krishna back to Vrindavan. So that's why he was looking at the schedules and everything like that. And eventually, when he was about 5, 6, he wanted to have his own Ratha Yatra. And what happened, he went to his father, Gaur Mohan Dev, and he asked his father, please buy a cart or make a cart. And basically, it was too expensive. They were not rich at that time. Although the cost of everything, Prabhupada comments elsewhere, was very small. Like for a few annas, you could purchase a whole bunch of mangoes. Prabhupada described when he was young, he would run around the house eating mangoes. And basically they don't even have annas anymore. I mean, probably it's a few lakhs you can purchase some mangoes or something like that. I'm exaggerating, of course. So they went to several carpenter shops and it was just too expensive. And then Prabhupada began to cry. You know, this was an ecstatic symptom. When a pure devotee cries, it's not like an ordinary kid crying because he wants a lollipop or something, a lolly. But Prabhupada was crying because he really wanted to have a cart. He wanted to celebrate Rath Yatra. He wanted to have his own Rath Yatra. And Prabhupada, when he was young, and for his whole life, he was very bossy. Prabhupada said he was always in charge. Even amongst his friends, he was the boss. So even with his parents, he was the boss. Even there's a story about how Prabhupada won two water pistols and he just demanded it and they had to get it for him. You know, Prabhupada never put up with no or impossible. One time I was with Prabhupada, and this is a famous story, and then Prabhupada asked the devotees to produce 17 books in 2 months. And the devotees said impossible, and Prabhupada said impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary. So Prabhupada never took, no, it can't be done, or we're not going to do it, even when he was really young. So he was crying in ecstasy. He's one of the Vyavachari Bhavas, you know, just completely crying all over. And then an old Bengali woman saw Prabhupada crying. And she asked his father, you know, why is your little boy crying? And Prabhupada's father, Gaur Mohan Day, explained that he wanted a Rath Yatra cart and they couldn't afford it. And the old woman said, I have a cart, you know, but it's broken, it's problematic. So, you can have it. Well, you know, give me a little money, you know, not much money, and you can have it. So Gaur Mohan arranged to purchase it or take it. And then Abai started to work on it. He actually was doing carpentry on the cart himself. You know, oftentimes you don't hear this part of the story. So they constructed 16 columns. They made a canopy. He had his mother, of course, stitch the canopy on top of the cart. And he wanted it to resemble, as far as possible, the cart from Jagannath Puri. And so he also had attached a wooden horse and a driver at the front of the cart. You see how Prabhupada really wanted to do everything precisely. It shows, you know, his connection. This is the business of an acharya, or the example of an acharya. That from the very birth, he's just completely immersed in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada told the devotees there never was a time when he did not think and remember Krishna. So Prabhupada painted the carts, copying the original Puri carts, and then he started to organize the festival. Like I said, he was like a boss. You know, Prabhupada was just like so determined. I mean, I remember being with Prabhupada, there was no way. Actually, just like you talk about astrology, Prabhupada had like this Mridanga Yoga. You know what Mridanga Yoga is? Anyone know astrology yet? No. Mridanga Yoga means when you walk in the room, it's like someone's playing a drum. There's different yogas. No one here knows astrology. Too bad. Anyway, I studied a little bit. Anyway, so it's like someone walks in the room and it's like boom, boom, like that. You know, Prabhupada, even though he was short of stature, you know, he wasn't tall physically, it's just like all everyone's attention became riveted on Prabhupada. And you can actually see pictures of Prabhupada with his godbrothers, pictures of Prabhupada in the early days, and it's just like focused. Everything is focused, even in the picture, on his divine grace of the Prabhupada. It's like this transcendental Mridanga Yoga. So, Srila Prabhupada organized this festival. Not only did he organize all of his friends, it was an 8-day festival. Not just one day like we have here. 8 days he did this festival. And then he had his sister help, Baba Tarini Bhishma. Prabhupada's sister was actually Prabhupada's like associate in devotional service in the old days, you know, when they were young. Even when they would fly kites together, they would pray to Krishna that the kites would fly in the air. So even the kite flying was associated with Krishna consciousness. It's amazing, isn't it? Mm-hmm. my dear Lord Krishna, let there be a wind so kites will fly. And so she helped. And then Prabhupada also organized all the mothers in the neighborhood to cook so there'd be adequate prasadam. So anyway, so this went for 8 days, and all of his friends were chanting and dancing and cartels. And Prabhupada wore a dhoti, with no shirt because it was very hot at that particular time. And they were singing a nice Bengali bhajan, and maybe some of you know this bhajan because you know Bengali. You ever heard of this? Ki kara rai kamalini. You know that bhajan? No?
Ki kara rai kamalini.
You know that?
I know.
Anyway, what is the actual translation of that? Ki kara rai kamalini.
What do you do? Rai means king, Krishna. Yeah. And kamalini means Radharani.
Okay, and here's the translation. That, what are you doing, Srimati Radharani? Please come out and see. They are stealing your dearmost treasure, Krishna the black gem. If the young girl only knew, the young boy Krishna, treasure of her heart, is now forsaking her. That's a pretty intense thing for Prabhupada to be chanting as a little boy. You know, how many little boys chant some things like this? So this is all glorification of Prabhupada. So Prabhupada did the arti to the deities. They offered obeisances. They went from Harrison Road to the inside of the courtyard of the Radha Govinda temple and stood watching the deities. And it's described here, Gaur Mohan's friends approached him, why haven't you invited us, you know, to this wonderful Rath Yatra? You were holding a big ceremony, why don't you invite us? And then Gaur Mohan Day said, they are just children playing. And his friend said, children playing? You are depriving us by saying that this is only for children. So, let's see, what else information? 8 day. And every year, they had this festival. So this is actually Prabhupada's connection to the Jagannath Festival. And then we understand that the way that Lord Jagannath came to the Western world was very interesting. Tell a little story about that. And Prabhupada's first Rath Yatra in the Western world. Once upon a time in San Francisco, Prabhupada was in San Francisco, and there was one of my god sisters, Malati, who went to an import store, and she found a little figurine in a big barrel of figurines. And she brought it back to Prabhupada. She said, Prabhupada, what's this? Because she understood it was from India. Prabhupada immediately offered obeisances. And Jagannatha Swami Nayanapatagami Baba Tume. He said, Lord Jagannath has come here. And he gave the name of the San Francisco temple, New Jagannath Puri. And then Prabhupada said that there should be a Rath Yatra. And the first Rath Yatra, Prabhupada actually was sick, recovering from heart attack at that time. But the first Rath Yatra was done on the back of a pickup truck. You know, pickup truck? Not pickup, a flatbed truck. And then the devotees drove the deities to Prabhupada, where Prabhupada was staying, to recuperate and put them in Prabhupada's house after the Rath Yatra. And then the devotees became so attached to Lord Jagannath that one time, without Prabhupada's permission, they took Lord Jagannath out to this place called Hippie Hill. You don't have places like that anymore. But in the old days, on the weekends, there used to be places where hippies would gather. You probably remember this. And hippies, they would all be smoking marijuana and completely intoxicated and all sorts of drugs. So the devotees thought, let's take Lord Jagannath out to Hippie Hill. So they took Lord Jagannath, they didn't take Subhadra and Baladev, and they put him right on a cloth, right on the ground. They were all dancing around. In Hippie Hill. And Prabhupada, when he heard this, he said, no, Lord Jagannath can only come out once a year. on Rath Yatra. You can't take them out every time and put them on the ground at Hippie Hill for people to dance around them. So, but the devotees were very enthusiastic. Even the first, all right, let's go back a little bit in the story. When Malati found that deity, Prabhupada said, are there any more? And she found the other ones, Baladeva and Subhadra. And then Prabhupada instructed Shyamasundara to carve the deities, you know, big deities that are still there in San Francisco, actually Berkeley today.
Berkeley.
They're in the Berkeley temple right now. And the interesting thing is Prabhupada was so merciful that when Shyamasundara was carving the deities, he actually put a cigarette pack on top of the deity that he was carving. You know, you can see how merciful Prabhupada was. See, an ocean of mercy, you know. Kripa Sindhu gave a chop. So he put a cigarette, and then Prabhupada looked at it, basically said, take it off. But he was so merciful that he said, just smoke one cigarette less a day. He didn't say, give up immediately. I mean, Prabhupada wanted that, but Prabhupada knew how to engage the devotees. I mean, it's amazing, isn't it? That shows how merciful Lord Jagannath is, too. That here is, you know, basically someone acting as a malecha, you know, that's really malecha. Of course, nowadays, you do find people in Puri smoking beanies, too, so that's another subject matter. Or people mixing Mahaprasadam with fish. Prabhupada talked about that. Yeah, Prabhupada mentioned it. So, I mean, India's become contaminated too. So anyway, the deities were carved by Shyamasundara and installed in the new Jagannath Puri temple. And then Prabhupada instructed his disciple Jayananda. I think you've all heard of Jayananda. Who was such a great devotee that he gave everything to Prabhupada. He worked, he was a very educated devotee. He had a master's degree or a bachelor's degree in engineering, but he was educated. But he was completely absorbed in pleasing Prabhupada. Completely absorbed. Prabhupada actually indicated he went back to Godhead. And he arranged for all these Rath Yatras, the original building of the carts. And even when he had leukemia, the final days of his life, he left this world before Prabhupada, he was still organizing Rath Yatra. And Prabhupada, he's the only devotee I can think of that Prabhupada said after he left his, that after Jayananda left his body, that Prabhupada was feeling separation from. And Jayananda even gave the money that was meant for his medical treatment to Prabhupada. You know, such a great devotee. And so therefore we put his picture in front of the cart when we have the Rath Yatra. You know, we have Prabhupada's deity and then the Jayananda's picture underneath Prabhupada's deity. So this is how Rath Yatra started. And then, of course, Prabhupada had Rath Yatra in New York and Chicago and, of course, Los Angeles. And then all over the world now we have Rath Yatras. And here at New Orleans we have Rath Yatra today. So today we are celebrating Rath Yatra. And we should remember Prabhupada's great attachment. We should remember the purpose of Rath Yatra is to experience separation from Krishna and to think that we're bringing Krishna back to Vrindavan, back to our hearts, which should be pure. And anyone who helps in the Rath Yatra procession is assisting the gopis, assisting the residents of Vrindavan and getting great benefit. And then, you know, that's why we invite everyone in the street to help pull the ropes. So anyone who sees Lord Jagannath, hears the sound of the kirtan, will make great spiritual advancement. So that's what I'd like to talk about today. So any questions or comments? No? Maharaj? No questions or comments?
Beautiful class, Maharaj. But we have some questions like our personal how we can understand like our devotional life is advancing, or because we had sometimes some lecture, you know, like even if you are 20 years, still you might be neophyte. That's true.
You may be 200 lifetimes in the neophyte. How do you know? Vasudevi Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prajojita Janayatiya Suvairagyam Jnanam Chalayata Hoitakam. By how you're becoming detached from this world and how much you're becoming attached to Krishna Katha, Ruchi. How much you have a taste for hearing and chanting about Krishna, and how much it doesn't matter what you eat that day. I mean, as long as it's prasadam. Bhacho vegam, antasakrodavim, jiva vegam. You know, that's really, you know, how less important the things of this world are. Nirapeksha. How disinterested you are in the things of this world. Right? Like if someone says, let's go to see this Bollywood movie or something like that. And I know many of our congregation, they go to see Bollywood movies and not go to see, they have them on the internet. And how much you're attached to having good sadhana. You know, sometimes we come here and I'm the only person, of course, from Mangalarti, other than the Pujari. I remember one time in Mexico, this is another Prabhupada story. Prabhupada kept the devotees up real late doing a preaching program in a city right near Mexico City, which is Cuernavaca. And the devotees got back about 11 o'clock at night. And everyone was thinking, let's just sleep late. And Prabhupada got up and he got so angry he was waking the devotees up. He said, why? Why aren't you up for Mangalarti? You know, Prabhupada, you know. So I think there's been a tendency that of less attraction for, you know, sadhana. You know, because we may think that we're Raganuga Bhaktas. Particularly here everyone, you know, here in this temple we call New Bengal. I know it's New Sankirtanpura. But you know, everybody's thinking that, you know, so much love for Krishna and everything like that, dancing and chanting. But the real test is, you know, your attachment for the regulated practice of sadhana. You know, for the holy name, you know, the japa. Just like, you know, this morning I saw Maharaj here chanting the whole morning. It's a good example. You have to preach to your friends here. The ashram at the morning. Jeev Jago, Gora Chanda Bole, Kuta Nidra, Yaomaya, Pisa Chira Kole. I had 15 rounds done before Mangalarti, so. And then after Mangalarti, I do my Didi Puja, do my reading. I read Bhagavatam this morning, heard a class of Prabhupada. So, that shouldn't be unique. I shouldn't be the only person doing those things. Or Mara shouldn't be the only person. He was feeling lonely here in the temple. So that's actually the sign of advancement. And if we're not advanced, we should do it on the intelligence platform. That's how you become advanced. And then you start to like it. You know, in the beginning, like Prabhupada gave the example of jaundice, in the beginning, right? Jaundice, you don't like sugar. Prabhupada said that. I mean, I never had jaundice, so I don't know. And then Prabhupada said, the cure for jaundice, you take sugar, and after a while, you like the sugar. So it's like that, you know, just you function on the intelligence platform, and then after that, you develop a taste, namaruchi. Right? Dova shradatata sota sandota bhajana kriya. So, Maybe people were just like on the Ado Shraddha platform. Ado Shraddha Saru Sangota Bhajana Kriya. But at least we should be on Bhajana Kriya. And then we can get rid of the anarthas. So that's why, you know. Actually, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave that very interesting example of the boat that the marriage party that was trying to cross, you know, the boat, trying to cross the river. And all night long, they row, 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 row. And they didn't get anywhere. Why? Because they let the anchor in. So you got to pull up the anchor. You know, what is the anchor? You know, our attachments in this world And there's a method of getting rid of those attachments. It's called sadhana bhakti, right? Sadhana bhakti, you know, there's rules and regulations. Vaidhi, and then ultimately Raganuga, and Bhava, you know, anyway. So, you understand? So the way you know you're making advancement is you have a taste. And the symptom of having a taste is that you get up early in the morning. Isn't it? I mean, if I'm getting up at 9 o'clock in the morning, that doesn't indicate that I have so much of a taste for hearing and chanting. That's really the point. Otherwise, what is it? Shrama AV Kevalam. Right? Not Padiyat, you know the verse? Not Padiyat Yadi Ratim, Shrama AV Kevalam. Then it's just like, what are you doing? Isn't it? You know, sadhana bhakti works. It does work. But we have to use it. It doesn't work if we don't do it. I don't think it'll work if you don't do it, is it? It's like, if you want to use your mobile phone, you have to charge it up. Sometimes people say, it doesn't work. I mean, there's a funny story. Then one time a lady called her computer. She couldn't turn on her computer. You know, she was just like trying to turn on the computer. So the computer is not going on. It's not booting up. She called assistance on the phone. And they said, did you plug it into the wall? Oh, I didn't know you had to do that. You know. So sometimes, you know, we don't understand ABC. You know, you got to plug yourself in the wall, or plug yourself into Krishna. Isn't it? If you're not having a taste, that's how you, a taste and detachment. And detachment, manifested detachment from the tongue, you know, the tongue. That's the first thing. Lobamaya Sudramati, you know that chant. Dhammadeya Jivayati, Lobamaya Sudramati, Takeja Takatina Samsari. Right?
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
Maharaj, your presentation is so wonderful. He covered a lot of stuff.
Yeah, that's right.
Everything he covered in synopsis is short. It's like when Radharani actually met with Krishna.
Yeah.
And she liked to, they made actually some chariot to bring in the Vrindavan now.
Yeah.
So they brought in Vrindavan or just...
No. No, he didn't go back to Vrindavan at that time. Although that was their meditation. You're the same Krishna, and I'm the same Radharani, and I wish to enjoy with you under the, what are the? Rivatasi tree. Mm-hmm. On the banks of the Reva.
Right.
You know, so there's that meditation of separation. I mean, some of the acharyas describe, but Krishna never leaves Vrindavan.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's Krishna not, but he's not manifest. Prakata, you know, it's unmanifest, but Krishna's never, Goloka Evinivashati Akilatma Bhuta, he never leaves Vrindavan.
Vrindavan,
yeah, he's never gone. It's just you just don't see him. You know, there's that whole story of Raghunath Das Goswami when he was chanting on the banks of the Shyamakund. And Krishna actually came to protect him from the tigers. You know the story? You don't know the story?
I forgot.
You're supposed to be so many years ago. Yeah. So Raghunath Das Goswami never built himself a bhajan kutira, and he would chant in the close to the Manasapavana Ghat, which is on Shyamakund. You've been there, Maharaj, I'm sure. And then, because of that, sometimes it was either too hot or the tigers would be there. It was a wild area at that time. So one time, Sanatana Goswami came to see Raghunath Das Goswami, and Raghunath Das Goswami was chanting, and there were tigers there, but there was Krishna standing with a stick. You've heard the story, right? To protect Raghunath Das Goswami. from the tigers. And Sanatana Goswami chastised Raghunath Das Goswami, you're taking service from Krishna. You have to build a kutir. But Raghunath Das Goswami didn't do it at that time. So later on, Sanatana Goswami came back and it was very hot in the summer there. And Raghunath Das Goswami was chanting. And what happened is that Radharani was holding her shawl over his head. And Sanatana Goswami said, this is too much, you've got to build a kutir. So Raghunath Das Goswami's kutir is right next to the Shambhakund, right near the Pilu tree. Anyways, oh, so many things there. And also Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur's bhajan kutir is there. Also Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami's bhajan kutir is there. Very special place for Gaudiya Vaishnavas. It's called Mansa Pavanagat. At Shambhakund. You've been there, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Most of the bodies
are. A couple of times.
I've been there like 500 times. So. Because I stay there. I don't stay there. I have a place at Govardhan and I'm there a lot. I just came back from there, actually. About 2 weeks ago. A week and a half, 2 weeks ago. Anyway, so that proves that Krishna's always there in Vrindavan, but you just don't see him. Of course, if you think you see him, you're a rascal. Because there's that whole story where the fisherman, you know that story in the Chaitanya Charitamrita? The fisherman was actually using a light to attract fish in the Yamuna, and everyone thought it was Krishna dancing on the Kaliya serpent's hood. And even Lord Chaitanya's own servant thought that. Lord Chaitanya slapped him, you know. He slapped him. He said, what do you think? Krishna was common like that in Kali Yuga. Even his own servant, Balabhadra, he said, can I go to see Krishna? And Lord Chaitanya like that slapped him. Because that's special mercy, getting slapped by Lord Chaitanya. Okay, I think we have to end because we have a big day. We have Rath Yatra.